Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Critic's Couch. I am your host, Dr. Nikki. Every time that I do hear briefly my podcast, I hate the way I sound. So I'm going to try to sound a bit more animated. So listen, obviously, there's always a lot to talk about. And as you know, we always try to discuss controversial topics or people. And again, try to look at it from a non-judgmental point of view and shed light quite often on some psychological disorders. I just happened to see this past weekend the movie slash documentary on Brooke Shields, known as Pretty Baby. And let me tell you something. I was kind of in shock, to be honest with you, in terms of so many things that this woman has gone through. And there's always that persona that most of us see, right? That we see in terms of celebrity. Someone is beautiful, someone is famous, but we don't often hear about the other side. And I think one of the beautiful parts of this documentary is that Brooke Shields really let us in into her life and her ups and downs. I remember growing up with Brooke Shields and admiring this beautiful young woman at the time. The documentary does show that from very early on, she was working. Her mother, who was her manager, had her working from very early on. And one of the first major movies she did was Pretty Baby, where apparently she was a child being raised in a brothel. Now, I never saw the movie. I've seen bits and pieces that obviously she showed in her documentary. And wow, all I can say is that we know in this day and age, that movie would not take place. Actually, I don't think any of Brooke Shields' movies when she was younger would take place. She talked about in Pretty Baby. I saw one scene where they're carrying her around and she must have been, I think, I don't know, 11 or 12. And she has makeup on and kind of like this white, it's not see-through, but it's almost see-through pajama and a gown, I should say. And grown men are bidding on her. Now, to watch this scene, it is so disturbing because to think that this is a movie that is showing grown men buying young women. This does exist in this day and age, and it's known as human trafficking. Now, obviously, it's illegal, but it does exist. It does exist. And so it does portray that in the movie. She does have to kiss an adult man, one of the actors. It's a tap on the lips, no tongue, but still, we're thinking about a young child who had never kissed anyone. And she said that was her actual first kiss. I can't even imagine being 10 years old and my having to kiss a grown man. Now, culturally, I can tell you I'm from Hispanic and it's quite normal. For example, my daughter will give a brief kiss to my husband and I, right? That's very cultural, but that's to your father and your mother. But to have to give a kiss to an unknown man or an older man that is not your parent, I could imagine must have been very challenging. And she says it was. Now, her mother pretty much was dependent on her financially based on what she reported that, she kept on getting jobs, started out in terms of commercials. And each time it was like, oh, we're going to use this to buy a car. We're going to use this to rent a home. It was never really supposed to be, I guess, like a career, but obviously it did. It turned into that. And she went on to do the Blue Lagoon. I remember very well the Blue Lagoon because here it showed her, this beautiful young girl. I think she was like 13 or something like that, 13, 14, 15, and probably 15, yeah. And she was with this other male actor, and they were supposedly deserted in this island, and they start exploring, right, their attraction towards each other. It's supposed to be very innocent, but keep in mind, throughout the movie, she's pretty much naked. Her breasts are covered with her hair. And the movie was filmed in Fiji. And she said at the time she thought it was like a dream come true. You know, she was on this island and you know, kind of away from everything. More so, I think she mentioned away from her mother, who apparently was very controlling. But again, here you go. You have a young woman that throughout pretty much the entire film is naked. She went on to do Endless Love. And in this particular movie, she is falling in love with this. Yeah, he's a young adult. I think in the movie, I think he's 20 years old. Maybe he's 18 and she's 16 or 17. In either case, the parents don't want them together. But in this particular movie, she has to have sex in the movie. Now, Brooke Shields did say she was a virgin during the time and did not know how to pretend to be having sex. And the director, I believe was French, used to squeeze and pull on her toes so that she can make facial expressions, as if she was having sex and having an orgasm. And again, I just keep thinking, I don't think any of these movies would be allowed to be filmed at this time. And if so, they definitely would have to have certain parameters in place, which is what they do now in many movies. She did also talk about how when she was 16 years old, she was hired by Calvin Klein for the jeans commercial. Now, let me tell you, I remember being in junior high and every girl had to have those Calvin Kleins, and they came with different color stitching. There was baby blue, there was pink, there was gold, you name it, you needed to have it, okay? And apparently, she did multiple commercials. The one I remember the most was, you know, nothing comes between me and my Calvins. She was 16, making these very provocative advertisements, if you will, commercials for Calvin Klein. The sales for Calvin Klein's jeans went up 300%, I believe they said within the first month. 300%. That's amazing. But that was because a young girl was sexualized. And if you come to think about it, you know, society has put certain parameters and movements, if you will, to protect, if you will, young women. But this still goes on. If you think in terms of Britney Spears, what she has reported, and we will be doing an episode on Britney Spears. I want to read her book and maybe talk more about it, but how she was sexualized. And, you know, to this day and age, that is still happening with young girls where you have a young girl in her teens and they're treated as sexual objects. So it is something that continues to happen. But she says at the time, she really did not understand it. She did not realize that she was being viewed as a sexual object, which is kind of interesting, right? Because for most of us, well, that's how we saw her for a long time. There was even protest, if you will, in terms of her movies and the advertisements. But Calvin Klein knew what he was doing. He sold a lot of those jeans and really became famous. Interestingly enough, she decided to take a break from the industry because she said that she was kind of tired of being viewed as an object and being in the industry of everybody seeing her as just something pretty. So she went on to Princeton. And in actuality, that is where she lost her virginity. She was 20 years old when she lost her virginity. Now, one of the things that she did say, which is kind of surprising, that, you know, she kind of started promoting, if you will, you know, saving your virginity for when you got married. And then when she finally did lose her virginity, that she kind of broke down because she I guess, fantasized about it so long or held it secret for so long that when she finally did lose it, she felt like she had done something wrong. And surprisingly, which I thought it was kind of interesting, she lost her virginity to what is that actor's name? Something Kane. And she said that he was actually great about it. Dean Kane, who was the Superman star, that's who she lost her virginity to. And I guess that's a good person to lose your virginity to, Superman. But yes, that, he was very understanding, but he mentioned to the fact that she had put that label on her, after being held a sex symbol, which I thought was kind of ironic, right? To then kind of promote being a virgin and saving yourself, that when she finally did lose her virginity, she felt this overwhelming amount of guilt, which is so ironic to me. She was 20 years old. So again, trying to live up to an image, which is always a problem. So, after she left Princeton, she said she came out. Obviously she was like 21, 22 years old, and she couldn't find work. Which is kind of interesting to me because, she was so famous, being young and doing back-to-back movies, that the fact that she couldn't find employment was kind of surprising. She made all these commercials, for these no-name companies. And during this time, she met her first husband, the famous tennis player, Andre Agassi. And, she said that when they met, they felt they had so much in common. They both had a lot of pressure since childhood, as if you know anything about Andre Agassi, had been playing since he was like 5 years old, and really became world renowned by the time he was 21. And so the fact that he has so much fame and so much power, they could relate that the fact that, their childhood was kind of taken away from them. So that's kind of what bonded them. And eventually they did end up getting married. Now, during this time, her mother had always been her manager, her protector, pretty much. Brooke Shields couldn't do anything without her mother. She did mention to the fact, though, that her mother was an alcoholic. And as a child, she kind of almost felt like she had to take care of her mother. Surprisingly, she mentioned to the fact that filming movies and working was an escape for her because she can kind of get away from her mother. So being married to Andre Agassi was finally an escape from her mother. However, her mother was always very controlling. And he or she thought that by getting married, she was going to be able to escape from that, and found herself being controlled now by someone else, which was Andre Agassi. She mentioned to the fact that, he said, "Hey, why aren't you acting? If that's really your passion, that's what you want to do, just go ahead and do it." And he convinced her to seek other management. And she mentioned something that was rather, I can't imagine as a mother in general how upsetting it must have been, but that her mother used to have like an office building, if you will. I think it was two or warehouse, two or three floors, just filled with all of Brooke's memorabilia, right? Whether it's posters and awards or whatever it may be. And that Agassi's team, whether it's his managers or whoever it may be, went in there one day when the mom was not there and took absolutely everything out. And she mentions to the fact, "I could imagine that my mother must have been devastated," because obviously she didn't tell her mother. And obviously that took a huge toll on her mother and on her relationship, of course, with her mother. At some point, she did land a role for Suddenly Susan, which was a TV show, and she did quite well on it. But it was canceled. She did have kind of a couple episode on Friends, and she said that she really enjoyed herself doing it, and she had to play the role of kind of a psychotic love interest for Joey. And in one of the scenes where she's having like a lunch or dinner in a restaurant with Joey, she kind of have to act, you know, she's playing the role of someone who's kind of like a stalker, right? Who's totally in love and obsessed with Joey. And she's like laughing and at one point grabs his fingers and licks it in an obsessive manner. And it's rather funny if you see the scene. Well, apparently her husband at the time, Andre Agassi, when he saw it, became enraged. And she said she was shocked because he had read the scene. But I guess when he saw it, he became so upset about it. And she said she didn't realize that he could get so upset to the point that he destroyed a bunch of his awards. I think even his Wimbledon trophy. Okay. That's how enraged he had become, which I thought was rather shocking that you would get, you know, someone would exhibit that kind of rage over an acting scene. It wasn't like she was lovemaking, kissing, none of that. Obviously shortly after that, you know, the relationship did falter and she ended up getting divorced. Fortunately, you know, Brooke Shields was able to find love by a gentleman of name of Chris Henchy, and he is a film producer and screenwriter, and she said it was really the first time that she felt free and that someone could accept her for her. And they went on to have two children, two daughters, I believe. But interestingly enough, when she had her first child, she was ex she experienced and describes in a lot of detail postpartum depression. Now, you know, in this day and age, we understand this society now clearly understands a lot about postpartum depression and what can happen to many women. Now, most people for many years did not talk about postpartum. That was a no-no because, you know, the bottom line is when you have a child, you're supposed to be happy. You know, you're supposed to want to be with the child. And what many women do experience, it's an overwhelming amount of depression. They'll have sadness, they'll have anxiety, fatigue that goes on for a long, long time, even after the child is born. She says she will have these horrific thoughts about her child being harmed. Not that she wanted to do it, but she would have these thoughts. She would go by and see the child and have no desire to pick the child up. And she knew something was wrong with her. She didn't even want to get out of bed for weeks at a time. And finally, she did get some help and was able to get medication, and things did turn around for her. And she ended up writing a book about her experience, which I think changed a lot of people's lives because, again, people don't talk about postpartum depression, especially back then. It was a huge no-no. And even after doing that, you know, she was brave enough to talk about it. You know, as a celebrity, that's a big deal to come out and say, hey, I'm dealing with this mental health issue, because it is a mental health issue. Some of you may remember Tom Cruise came out and said that was not true, that postpartum depression was not true. And instead of backing down, she went ahead and stood up to Tom Cruise. She wrote an article and basically explained to him in a logical manner why postpartum depression does exist, the fact that a woman's estrogen levels do change significantly and how that can interfere someone's mood and how it does need to be treated with medication. Years later, Tom Cruise did apologize. But it was interesting to me that here you had this woman who, you know, had been through so much and was having to defend herself in terms of experiencing postpartum depression. Another thing that I thought was rather interesting that she also revealed, and I'll backtrack a little, before getting together with Andre Agassi, right after she came out of Princeton while looking for work, she said she met with a very famous producer. She did not mention the name, but you and I know exactly who she's talking about. She's talking about Weinstein, okay? That basically told her, he had work for her and told her to come up to his hotel room to talk to her a little bit more about some jobs. And at some point, he went to the bathroom and she was looking out the balcony through some binoculars or something, and that he came out naked and basically got on top of her, took her clothes off. And she said that she was so in shock and in fear that she really did not fight. And when it was all said and done, he basically told her, okay, well, I'll see you around. And she mustered up enough energy to dress and leave. And she later confided in the individual that used to be her security guard. And he told her, hey, that's rape. And she said she held on to that for a long, long time because she felt so dirty and guilty. Because she almost felt like she asked for it for going into the hotel room. So, Brooke Shields, what a warrior, man. It's amazing to me that, we see these celebrities. We see the beautiful faces, we see the glamour, it shows of her, I believe, going to the Grammys, if I'm not mistaken, with Michael Jackson. And, the Calvin Klein commercials, and of course, being married to Andre Agassi, but we never really know someone's struggles. I mean, what she went through, obviously, with the rape that occurred, we have heard of so many women that went through that and obviously guided or led, helped us go through the Me Too movement. It propelled the Me Too movement. So many women that came out and said, hey, this happened to me, no more, no more. And hence why Weinstein ended up being in jail. And then on top of all of that, the postpartum depression that she actually had the strength, the courage to say, hey, this has happened to me, and go against Tom Cruise. Ladies and gentlemen, how many people will be willing to stand up against someone that is that powerful in the entertainment industry? And she did. So, it's amazing to me. Again, this is why I think it's so important to talk about individuals be, that we may not understand, or better yet, not even know their story, because it kind of really gives us more of an idea of who they are. And maybe give us some strength in terms of what may be going through. I mean, she has been able to overcome a controlling alcoholic mother, an industry that kind of used her and almost tried to throw her out, rape, and of course, postpartum depression. So, my hat's off to Brooke Shields. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I guess you went from being, I was going to say from pretty baby to pretty lady, but pretty lady, that's a movie that talks about prostitution. So I'm going to say pretty strong woman. I applaud you and thank you so much for sharing your story. This is your host, Dr. Nikki. And again, thank you for joining the Critics Couch. Hope to share some other stories with you guys soon. Have a blessed day.